Lord, help us to see the gift that comes with being last. Amen. Good morning. My name is Sarah Condon. I'm on staff here at St. Martin's with the pastoral care team. I'm also privileged to be the chaplain for the Daughters of the King, and I am so glad to be preaching with you this morning. So, what does it mean to be last? I'm a really big fan of obvious gospel lessons. I need things to be in plain script. Some of you may be familiar with the Andy Griffith Show. As a child from Mississippi, this show is my heartbeat. So this morning in the gospel, I think we get a little taste of Barney Fife from the disciples. So Jesus has just told them for the second time in the Gospel of Mark who he is. In the version we get this morning, Jesus tells the disciples that he will be betrayed into human hands, will be killed, and 3 days later will rise. He has essentially told them twice now who he is, right? That he is the Messiah, the one they have been waiting for. And their response is basically, "Hey, boss, we were just trying to figure out which one of us was the greatest." The merciful Jesus offers them this: whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. So this morning, I want to spend a few minutes unpacking that verse with you. Now, I should start by saying that I like being first. One of my favorite things about being pregnant with our two children is that when you go to dinner parties, people often tell the pregnant woman to go first for the food. I like to be the first mom at carpool. I like to be the first person to respond to an email, to a question. I love to be first because there is great power in being first, right? There's control in being first. And what could possibly be wrong with that? Well, for starters, I think it might kill you. And in the process, my experience has been that it makes me miserable. Because when we have to be first, when we are not servants, when we expect to run the show, we want to rule our own lives. And that is an exhaustive way to wake up in the morning. What I hear Jesus telling the disciples in this passage is that God is in control, and that is good news. The moment that we see our lives in light of Jesus, the one who came to be with us, to die by our hands, and to rise and save us 3 days later, that is the moment when we can raise our white flag of surrender and say, "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done." Of course, the other difficult part of this passage that we get from Jesus is what he says about being a servant. Because it's not just about being last, Jesus tells us, but you have to be servant of all. Too often, I think we hear this and we think, "Not me. I can't be a servant. Servants are out on the streets, feeding the poor and clothing the naked. Servants are Mother Teresa. Servants are Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi. I can't be a servant. I'm always picking up kids from soccer practice, or I've got an office to manage, or I've got a grocery list to make. I'm not good enough to be a servant," right? So many of us think that. Then I think there are the bigger realities of our lives, those bigger problems that pull us away, that make us think we're not capable of the role of servanthood. Perhaps your health has started to fail, or perhaps you're caring for a sick spouse. Maybe you find yourself in that infamous sandwich generation where you have children still at home, but you're beginning to care for your aging parents. You feel pulled in so many different directions for so many reasons, and you just feel like you can't be a servant. I don't know the details of what's happening in all of your lives, but I've been in ministry long enough to know that all of our lives are full of joys and complications, and that in some way, our lives, our stories, are all about us being a servant. So I don't want to discount, and I don't want you to discount, what God might be calling you into this morning. But I also don't want you to think I'm about to give you a pep talk about signing up for the food pantry more, because I don't do pep talks, and that's not the message this morning. What I want to suggest to you this morning is that when Jesus tells us to be last, when Jesus tells us to be a servant, what he is actually telling us is about him. He's telling us that he is in charge. He is the king of our hearts. And we are called to servant ministry in our lives just as they exist in this very moment without adding another blessed thing to your to-do list. It's funny to me that our gospel this morning was paired with a passage from Proverbs 31:10. This is a famous passage in some circles of Christianity, especially if you're a woman that goes to Bible study. Often we hold up this woman from Proverbs 31:10 as this, she's this mother and wife, right, that we all should aspire to, because this lady is amazing. I also think it is impossible to be her. I would like to say that from the outset. If you don't remember the reading from this morning, I'm just going to share a few lines with you. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maiden. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So we miss the point if we see this woman in Proverbs as some sort of ideal mom who cooks for everyone and gets the laundry done. I think sometimes we read about virtuous characters in the Bible and we think, great, here's my checklist for virtue. If I just do all these things, then I'll be virtuous. When really, I think we should look to these virtuous characters in the Bible and be moved by their fear and love of God. I am moved by this woman in Proverbs who is a servant in the day-to-day mundaneness of her life, and also that she seems to find rest in God being in charge. So last month, GQ Magazine did an interview with Stephen Colbert. He's the newest host of The Late Show. And on top of being funny and poignant, Stephen Colbert is a devout Catholic. And I knew that already. What I did not know about Mr. Colbert was that he had an incredibly tragic event happen in his childhood. He was the youngest of 11 children. And when he was 10 years old, his father and the two brothers closest in age to him were killed in a plane crash. Young Stephen was the only child still at home with his mother in the years immediately following. From the outside, it would seem like such a life-altering event would have made Stephen Colbert a bitter and perhaps lonely person. Certainly in a world where so many people leave faith, it is staggering to me to see this figure, this celebrity, share his faith in Jesus alongside such a tragic event. And with all of that in mind, I was astonished to read what Stephen Colbert has to say about how he views life, sort of how he comes at life, how he sees himself as a servant in life. It was such a powerful quote that GQ actually ended the interview with it. Mr. Colbert said, "It's our choice whether to hate something in our lives or to love every moment of them, even the parts that bring us pain. At every moment, we are volunteers." So I cannot tell you the number of times I have thought about that quote over the past few weeks when I've been unloading the dishwasher or putting my kids to bed or getting up early in the morning. As I was preparing to preach with you this morning, it occurred to me that Mr. Colbert's quote is pretty appropriate for the gospel. At every moment, we are servants. At every moment, we are last. We have to take ourselves off of the throne of importance, because that's not where we're sitting, right? That's not where we belong. We got fired from being first, right? And that's good news. We're off duty from having to be first, because God already is. And the moment that we see that, brothers and sisters, the moment that we realize that, we find peace. I think that many times we do exactly what the disciples did in this morning's gospel. When God tells us that he came to save us, to die for us, to love us into being last, we so often turn to God and say, okay, but can you at least tell me what place in line I'm in, right? How important am I? But maybe the alternative is the life-giving response. Maybe in those moments when we realize that we are not in control, in those moments that we realize that we are the volunteers, the servants in our lives, maybe we should look back to the simple description of the woman in Proverbs 31:10. It says simply, "But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Maybe in those moments when we realize we are not first, we should turn to Jesus and say, "Thank you, Lord, for being more loving, more grace-filled, more merciful than I could have ever imagined. Thank you for being perfect when I can never be perfect myself. Heavenly Father, thank you for being first, and thank you for making me last." Amen.